Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two. All right, so today we have a very special guest who is my friend and has been my friend since I was literally 18 years old. I don't know, I say friend, but really the group that we're in treats me like the little sister because I am the youngest. So friend slash sister. But Leticia, welcome to the Girlfriends and Goals podcast.
Yes. Thank you. In my mind, you're still...
I know.
19 years old.
Still a baby.
It doesn't change.
When I turn 30, y'all have to put some respect on my age.
I'll think about that maybe when you finish school. And then I'm like, okay, she can't be a 19-year-old doctor. So
exactly. There we go.
We'll do it.
I have to get a PhD to get respect, y'all.
All right. We're going to jump into our first segment, which is called Girl, What's Good? Where we talk about something we've been loving for the past couple of weeks. It could be a podcast, a show, a bottle of wine, anything that you've been loving. So Leticia, since you're our special guest, what's been good with you?
I think the thing I've been loving the most is the Black Music Month that's going on with Music Sermon at Music Sermon on Instagram, because it gives me something to look forward to thinking through. And I've been trying to find either answers or songs that I'm super passionate about, or that is not what I see in the comment section of other songs. It also gives me the opportunity to fight with Samaria about her horrible music choices.
Okay.
that I typically disagree with. So far in total, she has posted 3 songs that I hate. And there's only really 5 songs in my whole life that I hate.
And wow. I managed to do 3 of them. Wow.
He's done 3 of them. So that's been my thing for now. It's been the Black Music Month challenge.
Yeah, I really love doing that. Even when I get behind, I'm like, I have to catch up because I just love it so much. And I don't know, we don't have anything to look forward to in July, but all good things must come to an end. So yeah. But what's good with me is this show on Netflix. I feel like I always do shows on Netflix, but it's called You Don't Know Me. And it's only 4 episodes. They're each 1 hour. And it is so good. It's one of those shows that starts at the end and then they tell you the story of how they got there. But it's amazing. And they leave it off on a cliffhanger, but I don't even want to call it a cliffhanger because I don't think they're going to do a second season. Like, I think that's just the ending, but it's so well done, in my opinion. So yeah, check it out. You Don't Know Me.
Oh, sometimes shows like that, if it's really good, I feel emotional when it gets to the end. Like, can be more.
Yeah. But I was happy that they left it the way they left it, because I would have been mad if I didn't get the ending that I wanted, you know? So like, okay, y'all knew what y'all were doing with this one.
Okay. Well, what's been good with me is, I guess, something I feel lucky about. I was able to snag a shirt from the Tabitha Brown collection at Target. Yes, your girl feels a part of the clique. I was able to get a shirt. And of course, it's great quality. She's given us all the color we need this summer. And hopefully they bring her back next year as well. But yeah, I was able to get a shirt. And I don't know, I was glad to see that she sold out so quick. But I wish I had more options to choose from when I finally made it in store. So yeah, that's what's been good with me.
I didn't get anything. I feel I always miss out on the Tabitha Brown things. The seasonings, we tried to get the seasoning, but they're back now and they're in store. So, you know, we have a chance, but yeah, I didn't get anything. I would have wanted a bathing suit, but
yeah,
they had some at the Target near me in your size. Like, that's the only stuff they had left.
I actually tried on the bathing suit and it was cute. It was one of the 2-piece ones. It was just a bit too cheeky for me.
Okay,
I know you could wear it. Yeah, I know you could wear a cover up. It was one of the high-waisted ones. It was the one that was like leopard print, but obviously in the different colors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just a little too cheeky. So I left it there, you know, to bless someone else.
Oh, man. But I think that's a really good segue since we're talking about America's favorite mom, right? Today's topic is gentle parenting. And the reason why I wanted Leticia specifically for this, even though she was like, I mean, I'm no expert, but it's because I think you would give us the real, you know, like you're actively trying to implement gentle parenting. And so I think you'll give us the highs and lows, the mistakes and, you know, the triumphs or whatever that that you're going through. So I'm really looking forward to learning about this. I do not have children, but I do think it is an interesting way of parenting. And so I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. If you don't mind, I'm going to say how many kids you have. Is that okay?
Yeah, I have two. I have a 4-year-old Kennedy, and then I have a 1-year-old. I think she's 16 months. What's today? Is it 24?
27.
No, it's 27.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, she's 16. She's 16 months old. I started the process of gentle parenting when my 1-year-old was maybe 1.5. And then it's kind of continued on with the little one, Olivia.
Okay, when the 4-year-old was 1.5.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. So how would you describe gentle parenting in your own world, like in your own words, not the Webster definition, which since it's a phrase, I doubt that Webster has a definition for it.
I completely knew you were going to say that. Like, it's not a definition in there. You was going to correct it. So the way that I see it, and I've kind of made this definition based on, you know, a lot of different people in the space. It's basically allowing a parent to actually disciple or teach their kids through those hard moments instead of resorting to a more action-based response. Closer to like a consequence system. So, or not consequence, a punishment system. Instead of relying on punishment to deal with discipline, you actually discipline from the root word disciple. So you're teaching them through their emotions. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest misconception is that means everything is allowed. Mm. And it's not. It means that everything is addressed. Sometimes in typical traditional historic parenting, especially in the Black community, our discipline was based on what we saw, you know, and that is rooted oftentimes in slavery, where you do something, you receive a punishment that was typically physical. And I think it continued. I want to say I got this from Kev on stage and Melissa about sometimes our parents did that kind of thing. Like, I don't have time to explain this to you. I got to go to work and I need you to not do the thing I told you to not do because I can't be here to make sure. So I have to use fear to kind of stop that. I don't have the time to go through it. And he said, and the thing that comes with success and money is you have the time, but it's harder because you've been programmed in a certain way. So that's my definition in a nutshell. Because I think to define it, you also have to deal with the misconception, because that is what has become a part of the lexicon of the definition.
Yeah.
And it's important to me to talk about what it is and what it isn't.
Okay. Okay. So you mentioned that this style of parenting is something that you implemented when your 4-year-old was about 1.5. What piqued your interest in gentle parenting, or was it something you heard of, or you saw other people doing, or you just felt like you needed a change from maybe what you were doing from when they were first born?
So it's a little bit different than other people. I didn't have a whole bunch of research. I'm an educator by trade, secondary, which in our friend group, they always ask me stuff like, so what happens when kids turn 2? I'm like, girl, no, I do high school. So I'm an educator by trade, but a part of that is understanding what is developmentally appropriate. And I do know that from primary, because you have to understand where things are developmentally appropriate to figure out where there are gaps. So then I can figure out how to address gaps when I see them in high school. I'm a coach now. I'm an instructional coach, and I coach multiple grade levels. So looking at what's developmentally appropriate has always been something I've done in my career. When I had children, however, my husband is in HR. He's a rule person. This is the rule. And he's also a PK. So this is the rule. You broke the rule. And sometimes when my oldest was younger, I felt that what he thought was a breaking of the rule was not developmentally appropriate. So what happened was that he could say stuff a couple of times. And just because she understood that time, it wasn't to me developmentally appropriate to think that she had captured the understanding. She just knew that in that moment, there was something that he didn't want her to do. So she stopped. But I heard him say a couple of times, you know better than this. And I was like, no, she doesn't. She doesn't actually know better than that. Yeah. She knew better than that in the moment you told her the last time, but it to me wasn't developmentally appropriate. And so as he and I were having those conversations, and most people who gentle parent, and let me clarify, if I had to clarify it based on what you see on Instagram, I medium parent. Just put that out there because there's some parts of gentle parenting that I'm still learning and I'm trying to understand before I can implement. But my hard line is about using physical punishment as a deterrent for behavior. That's a hard stop for me. So in those conversations, I started looking at things and it actually came through food, which Miyosha, you might be interested in. Once your baby gets over a certain hump, it's somewhere around 18 to 24 months, they stop eating everything they were eating when you were teaching them how to eat. They ate all the vegetables, all the fruits, all the whatever. And then she stopped eating and was hardly eating any vegetables. And I was trying to figure out how to stop it.
And well, so I'm right there right now.
Here you go. I took a toddler eating class. Paid for it, wanted to figure out how to introduce foods, which is where I learned the division of responsibility, which piqued my interest in more things. So the idea of division of responsibility in food is that I am the parent, I get to decide what's provided to eat. The kid gets to decide what they eat. We cannot cross those lines. So if I want this thing and I haven't provided it, I don't stop everything and go make something else because I want them to eat. They have to learn the behavior of I get to decide what we're eating. You get to decide if you eat it. That was an interesting concept for me because they were like, children have some autonomy over their choices. They don't have a lot of autonomy over everything, but whether or not they get to eat is one of the choices. And I thought that was interesting, which took me into a rabbit hole cycle of, okay, so how does that relate to tantrum? What are they trying to communicate? Especially if they're not super verbal yet, which at between that age, you might have some words, but you can't express everything you might be feeling, which is where tantrums come from. So that is the starting place for me. And then I started finding different people whose views I aligned with and whose styles I aligned with. And most importantly, whose styles my husband could align with because he wasn't on board at first. And I had to figure out people who were experts in the field who he could listen to and say, okay, I can hear it from them, but not from those people because they have different ways that they get to move in the world that we don't have. So
wow. Yeah, you said a lot. The one thing that's really funny to me is I'm like, well, when I get to that stage as a parent, my kid is really going to have it rough because like as an African, if my kid was eating rice and decided not to eat rice, I'm going to be like, I don't know what else to give you. Like it's either rice or you can breathe in the air. Like that's it. You don't really have many options. But that kind of leads to my next question because you talked about, you know, getting your husband on board. So do you feel like gentle parenting requires you to change yourself? And if so, like how?
So I think it may require some people to change themselves because if I have to be quite honest, in reflection, I was gentle parented. It just wasn't called that, but not in that way. There were things that I couldn't do, but to my knowledge from my parents, I've never received a spanking. Okay. Some of it was because I was the youngest and got to see what my elder siblings got in trouble for. And I was like, don't do that.
Okay.
But that's also a 12-year age gap between me and my next oldest sibling. So my siblings got spankings. Mm. So I'm curious, as I talked to them about it, my mom said, well, I learned by then. And that's kind of the long and short. She said, I learned to be a bit more patient. So what it is the patience and the ability to look and see, like, this behavior is trying to communicate something to me. Mm-hmm. What is it to address that?
Yeah.
And then I can come back and address the behavior when the emotions aren't high, because you can't teach when emotions are high. And if a kid's emotions are high and your emotions are high, you got two people who just ready to argue. Like, if we were the same age, we would just fight, right? So you have to remember that you all are not peers. You have a responsibility to look deeper. And some of that for me came from my background in education. Mm. Like, in order, when students act a fool, I have to figure out, this isn't about me because I just met you like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So what is this about that I can address? I think for when I say getting my husband on board, if you understand the dynamic of relationships of being a preacher's kid, that means whatever, no matter what happens, you have to toe the line, at least publicly. Yeah. And not to say that there was a private difference, at least not there, but there were some things you just could not do in public. And it didn't matter what feeling you had to suck it up, right? Mm-hmm. And then with him being in HR, where we have, this is about rules and regulations. There's a line here and you don't cross it. When you cross it, this, then this happens. So I think it was more about understanding, because the great thing is both my husband and I are researchers by definition. Like, we research, we look at data, we look at where the data makes sense and where it aligns, and we implement based on the data points that we have. So I think that it causes you to understand, for a lot of people, it causes them to understand their own trauma. That's not the case here. It causes me to say, okay, this is basically what I do with 15-year-olds, just with a smaller person who doesn't have as many words.
Yeah.
And that patience. What we have discovered, and I didn't know this because I didn't have a reason to know it, my husband isn't a patient person. Found this out after children. And when I mentioned it to other people, they was like, that's what he's known for. He's never been patient. I was like,
I mean, kids do test your patience in different ways than I think you'd normally be tested.
Right. But they'll find out from everybody across the board, college, family, friends, that he's known for being impatient, which is why he was so good at everything, because he didn't want to wait for people. And I was like, that was an interesting piece of information I would have needed before we, you know, decided to procreate. So I think that's the biggest thing. You have to be able to deal with your patients. And if you don't, then it will change you, or something you have to change.
Yeah.
What would you say has been some of, I guess, the bigger challenges associated with gentle parenting? And then, I guess, to balance it out, what have been some of the positives that y'all have experienced?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is noise. And I'm being completely serious. It's a lot of crying. Mm. And you, the adult, have to be okay with that.
Mm. Ooh.
Crying is loud.
Ooh. Yeah.
My specific kid has a healthy set of lungs, to the point where when I heard other kids cry, I was like, okay, I'm not tripping. She is just super loud. Even now, she has a healthy voice. Both myself and her father are singers. We're thinking she's going to bring it on up, because she can use that diaphragm from 6 months. You hear me? Okay. And it's loud. And I think part of the impatience that my husband was experiencing is, I need this to stop.
Yeah.
Mm. I had to get to a place and be able to get to him to say, we don't actually need it to stop. Mm. We need her to follow her emotion to its end, so that then we can teach her how to recognize what's happening. But we can't do that if we cut the thing. He said, well, I'm going to have to go upstairs.
That is so really interesting. Yeah, but I've noticed that in my short time in parenting too, is like, when you let them cry safely and have their moment, they'll gather themselves, mm-hmm, and eventually be like, okay.
So I'm so intrigued. I don't have kids, but I have a million nieces and nephews, and I love them. The newest addition enjoys crying when she's around me, especially if one of her parents like isn't around, right? Mm-hmm. And so
is developmentally appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, the other day, I kind of just let her do it because I had to finish chopping up like vegetables. And so I was like, okay, I'm not even in the space where I can like try to calm her down. Like, these vegetables need to be chopped. So I just let her have that. And then when she was like trying to calm down, I was like, okay, let's go outside and play with bubbles. And it worked really well. But I think previous times people are like, oh, what's wrong? And trying to like be all up in her face, and maybe she doesn't need that. So I'm glad that you said that. Now I can let the baby cry.
Yeah, and I'll meet all the time. Like sometimes when the way that I look at it is, you are crying. Is there something wrong, or is this something you're feeling? Mm-hmm. Because the funny thing about, and I'm going to use, because this was when I was in the thick of it and it was hard. 21 months, is that the eight? Okay. Mm-hmm. The prime thing there was that it's hard to tell if there's an actual need. For instance, some of the times we found out she was crying and I was like, well, I've done everything. Mm-hmm. I noticed something later, or she went for a checkup. They said, whoa, she has 2 severe ear infections. We was like, well, how am I supposed to know? She don't have no fever. She not going like this or anything. And I noticed when she was little, we lay her down, she would just rock her head back and forth. We thought she was being silly, but she was filling the fluid.
Look, she's over there hurrying. I think she's joking.
Yeah.
Like, look at her moving her head.
Yes. I was like, oh. But she was crying. Like, so sometimes you have to see if there's a need. Mm-hmm. And then once you ruled out every possibility of a need, then you can say, well, I'm going to give you the space, and then you can come and talk to mommy. And I would say this even before she could talk, because it's a muscle memory. You can come and talk to mommy when you're ready, and I'll be over here. When I was angry, I would say, I'm going to let you get yourself together, and I'm going to go sit over here. But one thing I tried to never do is to leave the room or leave the space, because then that feels like abandonment. They don't know the difference between you leaving them at the fire station and you going to the next room. Yeah. So, I try to be really honest when I would use a term that they use in the gentle parenting space. If I'm dysregulated, which means I'm angry, frustrated, annoyed, about to fight you, then I also have to articulate that to her, even when she doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. So even now, there are extremes in gentle parenting that say, and you don't get mad, or when you get mad, you apologize for being mad. I don't apologize for being mad. It's an emotion, right? But I will tell you beforehand, hey, I've asked you to do this 3 times. If you do it again, because I'm telling you, I think this will happen, mommy is going to get upset. And she's like, you are? I said, I will, because I asked you not to do it. You've done it twice now. And the possibility of this bigger thing happening is on the table. And if you do it again, I'm going to get upset, because I've told you, I've shown you. So she was like, okay. And then she'll stop. And then she asked me once, she said, hey, mommy, if I do this, will you get upset? And I said, no, I would never get upset with you for an accident or something you didn't know. She said, you only get upset if you told me a bunch of times and I do it anyway. I said, mm-hmm. But to be able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
To 2 years of that type of repetition, mm-hmm. saying that don't give up hope. we're reaping the benefit of her emotional regulation now.
I am so curious about like where, so I saw this thing on Instagram and it said, oh yeah, we're not gonna do our kids like our parents and, you know, let our kids have the problems that we have. And then someone else said, bam, a whole new set of problems. So I'm interested in like what new challenges gentle parenting brings up, but more than anything, I'm interested in how much more effective of communicators these children will be, especially about their emotions, because a lot of times you see adults who as children had to suppress or like find other ways, like they couldn't express themselves. And so now as adults, they're mad and they're like, they should know why they made me mad, or I'm not even going to tell them. And it's like, well, how will they know? Mm-hmm. Like, how will I know if you don't tell me? So yeah, I'm really interested to see how gentle parenting will benefit them in that way.
So I do think it's some benefit. I think it's going to be some drawback that's not their fault. I think it's going to be, for instance, One thing I had to learn is that if I wanted, and I actually got this from a woman that I follow mm-hmm. who is in this space, if I want Kennedy to do something, I can't ask her. Mm. Like, hey, you ready to go upstairs? Which is typically how people say go upstairs.
Yeah.
And she'll go, no. Because I asked her a question. Mm-hmm. She gave me her honest answer. What I've noticed at daycare is they'll tell me that we asked Kennedy to do something and she said no. The first time I addressed them, they said, we asked her again. And I said, well, what did you ask her? And she was sitting with me and they said, we asked her, will you help us come pick up the toys? And she said, no. And I said, let's try it this way. I have to educate the teacher. Mm-hmm. I said, because you're asking her a question and we are practicing in our household that it is okay for you to give an answer to a question that is asked of you. So if you need her to do something, we can't ask, you have to tell her. Mm-hmm. And so, and she said, I said, so, cause I do it sometimes because it's just natural. Like, hey, you ready to go upstairs? And she'd be like, no. And I'm like, okay, let's try it again. It's time to go upstairs. Would you like to bring this toy or would you like to race mommy? And she'd be like, race mommy. Because I asked her a question that she feels she has a right to answer. So what I think is going to happen is that the generations of people who are not in this gentle parenting phase do not know the communication style and technique. And one, they're going to take that as disrespect. They're going to take it as not following directions. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, you asked the question. You didn't tell anybody to do anything. Mm. So I am foreseeing that being some of the things. And when we already have disparities in schools with discipline and Black children, mm-hmm. the one thing that I have to be vigilant about is addressing it, making sure you understand that if a teacher asks you to do something, you do it, mm-hmm. As long as it's not going to put yourself in harm's way. That's always my caveat.
Yeah.
But then going back to the adult and saying, hey, I noticed that what you're calling disrespect, you're asking her to do something and she's giving you an answer. So instead of saying, will you, can you say, it's time to clean up. Come and help me put away the toys, please. Some of that is really just us wanting to, you know, be polite as well. But I got this from somebody specifically and it made so much sense. You can't say, okay, because it sounds like you're asking for input and kids are like, no, it's not okay. No, this is what you're about to do, but I want you to know I'm being polite and I'm not yelling at you. So I put please on the end. So it's just interesting, the things that you pick up.
You can be direct and polite. And I think that, so that approach, like we're going upstairs now, it's very direct. you know what we're about to do, you mm-hmm. know? So I like that it encourages that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned some of the feedback that you've had with her daycare and just, I guess, like the communication style. So how do you manage, you know, you having this gentle parenting style at home, but then obviously you can't be with your children 24/7. They're going to go to school, spend time with grandparents, aunts and uncles. I guess, do you get everyone on board or you just focus on what you can do at home or do you try to find a way to meet in the middle?
This is a hard question to answer just because as I was going, well, full disclosure, I live here where I don't have close family within 5.5 to 6 hours. So yes, I have a 4-year-old and then decided to have another baby in the pandemic when don't nobody live by me. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. Okay. But that also made it a bit easier for us to implement because there was no one here to have to bounce those ideas off of. When they came in and out, they might note that, oh, I don't like how that's happening. And some of that was when me and my husband were still trying to get on the same page because that didn't happen over a conversation or two. It happened over months.
Yeah.
And so I would say, while I understand you have an opinion, this isn't something I'm going to take feedback on.
Straight like that.
I had to say that to my mother.
Oh,
while I understand you have an opinion and you want the best for this situation, this isn't something I'm taking feedback on.
Did she fight you? Because I want to know how that happened.
Because the next step of that is, if this is a problem, we need to look at your travel arrangements so that you can be somewhere where you feel respected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, what else can you say? One, you can't beat me up. Okay. Yeah. But two, it's respectful.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I understand. I'm acknowledging. I understand that you feel passionately about this. And you, mm-hmm. and you, the reason you feel that way is because you want the best in this situation. However, this isn't something I'm taking feedback on.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's the most respectful boundaries. Thing. Is it? It is. It goes back to one episode.
Yes.
I feel like boundaries is something that just keeps coming up. It's within all of the conversations.
Mm-hmm. And so where it becomes tricky, last week exactly, we went on a family vacation and we got to see what it looks like for people who don't make that a priority, mm-hmm. and how that could affect our kid. So other kids who are around the same age who were dysregulated and how they responded, my oldest tried to do that.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Now her acting brand new.
Regression when they get around.
Yeah. She said, okay, this is what they're doing. So I think her grandmother told her to stop something she was trying to do and she slammed it down. I said, oh, no, ma'am, what? Come here. And she was like, yes, ma'am. And I said, why did you throw that down? She said, because I wanted to do this. I said, mm-hmm. I understand that you wanted to do it. And grandma told you no. Why did you throw it down? And she said, I don't know. I said, did you throw it down because you were angry at it? No. Did you throw it down because you were angry at grandma? No. Did you throw it down because you saw someone else do it? Yes. Okay. But just because you see someone else do something, that you know that's not an expectation that we have. Yes, ma'am. So if you throw that down again, it's going to be me and you. You understand? And she was like, yes, ma'am. I said, okay. I love you. I love you. I have a kiss. Yes, ma'am. Go hug grandma and say, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Grandma, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have thrown that down. I should have just listened and I'll go play with these toys.
Girl, why did I feel mothered as you were going through that whole thing? I'm like, yes, ma'am.
And so the other parents who saw, I was like, ooh, I wish I could get my kids to do that. And I'm like, you can.
It just takes work.
It's patience. Work. And because they're older, it's much more work.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part. We have to express our boundaries. And sometimes we have to express them in spaces and situations where other people aren't doing the same. So then I have to give them their boundaries in the situation. For instance, we were leaving vacation. They made a bunch of cookies because we bought some ready to bake cookies the night before. And we didn't give Kennedy sugar until she was two.
Mm-hmm.
She had never had a cookie until she was 2.5. And then I think she had a cupcake on her second birthday. And even now, we allow her to have cookies, but we serve one with dinner. Like she can eat it first. So she doesn't have this big priority on sweets. Like she knows they're coming, right? But they made these cookies, found them, and the other kids could just go in the pantry and get cookies, chips. And I'm like,
it's like a cookie party.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she asked, like, can I have a cookie? Because the other kids are eating cookies. She said, they might be, but that's not something we're going to have at breakfast. And while I was saying that, one of the older kids was walking over eating the cookie. And I did like this and said, and while that might be clear, that's not something we're going to do. And she got her cookie and hid it and moved away. So they understood.
Yeah.
And I had to create the boundaries around what our responsibilities were going to be. Now, don't get me wrong, over the break, she had more sweets than we probably ever given her in a week's time. She had two cookies at dinner. We went to Cheesecake Factory for some reason when we were on a vacation, and there's a Cheesecake Factory everywhere. I'm not mad or anything. So anyway, went to Cheesecake Factory. We gave her some cheesecake because she wanted to try it. She's like, this is delicious. We had ice cream one night. We had a fire pit. She was like, can we make s'mores? Because they learned about camping in daycare. So we made s'mores. She was like, this is not delicious. I said, it's not. So we've done that stuff, but it didn't become a free-for-all. So I think you can loosen your, once you've created them, you can loosen them for a time with understanding and then pull them back, but not if you've never created them.
Okay. I want to have this conversation with you in like 10 to 12 years. Like, I want to know how gentle parenting works with teenagers. Thankfully, like, all of y'all would have gone through that before I ever get to that stage, but I really am curious. You know, I want to be like a sponge. The next question I have, though, is what does discipline look like? So it's not spanking. What does discipline look like? Or if it's not punishment, let's not use punishment, but what would something punishment like look like a gentle parenting.
So it's not punishment, it's consequence.
Consequence. Okay.
Yeah. So what that might look like is, hey, you don't know, like, let's do something simple. Okay. You keep throwing this stuff, like you have blocks, you keep throwing them, and I've asked you not to, it's making a big mess. Because we can't play with the blocks appropriately, we're going to remove the blocks and we'll try again tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm like, I want the blocks. I understand. Let's try again tomorrow. How could we play with them differently than we played today? I understand. It seems like you're saying you want to try to play with the blocks again. I really like us to do that tomorrow, but today it's all done. How can we play with them differently? Or would you like to draw? Sometimes she gets mad and is like, you seem frustrated.
You bad.
Like, you seem, what I'm trying to do is give her the word.
Yeah.
You seem frustrated. You're not angry. Right. You were angry because you got the blocks taken away, but now I'm not giving it back to you, even after you apologized. So now you're frustrated because you think the apology triggers that you get to do the thing you wanted again.
Yeah.
And now you're frustrated. What could we do when we're frustrated? She's like, I want to stomp around. Okay, let's stomp. And then like, do you feel better yet? No. Okay. Well, mommy's going to sit down because I'm tired and old. and then she'll get mad sometimes, and she tried to kick, like, she, when she was much younger, she would try to kick walls. I said, oh, no. Now, when we're frustrated, there are some things we can do and some things we can't do. You do not hit mommy, you do not hit anything, so what else could you do? And then when she's hit those things, I would pick her up. I said, I'm gonna remove you from this to keep you safe, but also so that you don't find yourself in trouble. And I put her on the couch, and sometimes she would get down and I would put her back, and I was like, Kennedy, if you get down off this couch again, it's going to be a problem. Now, what that problem was going to be, I don't know. But luckily we never had to find out.
So that lesson needs to go in a sermon somewhere. Like, okay. Just because you do the apology, that's not me. You get access.
But it's a car a very long time to pick that up, and even now she's trying to understand what an apology really is. Because Kennedy has always favored me over her father, to the point where she was super mean to him for a period of time, and it affected him. And it was interesting because I had to be the person to walk her through apologizing when he was upset. And I was like, because daddy has the right to be angry and hurt because you did X, Y, and Z. So whenever you're ready, we'll apologize. I never made her go, but I told her she needed to. And she was like, well, will you tell daddy I'm sorry? I said, I can't do that. I didn't hurt daddy's feelings.
But I can walk your own battles.
Yeah, I can walk with you. Would you like me to walk with you? She was like, and sometimes she would get there and still not say it. And we go sit back down. Like, it was the whole thing. And so she's still trying to understand what that looks like. And how it makes her feel when she understands that she's hurt somebody's feelings. And the other way, even on this trip, another kid around her age hurt her feelings. She brought out her beloved Paw Patrol toys. And the other kid just was not listening. I'm saying other kid because I'm trying not to be too transparent about family, but the other kid was not listening and telling her she was doing it wrong, and it hurt her feelings. And she came to me and she was angry and she was crying, but she was trying not to, like she was trying to regulate her own emotions. And she's like, he is not being nice, he's not listening to me, he's not, like, she was able to articulate it. And I was happy because I was seeing the fruit of my labor. And she was like, and it's not very nice. And I brought my toys out for him to play with me, and he's not including me, and it's not okay. And I said, okay, but we need to go say that to Grace. And she said, can you say it? And so, you know, she didn't. So it was, I'm able to see it and know what it looks like. So it basically means removing the thing that she wants until she can handle it, but we continue to try again, or removing her.
You are so great because I had forgotten what question I asked completely. And then you just brought it back and I'm like, oh yeah, consequences.
Earlier you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of content out there, like people you follow on Instagram. You know, I have been noticing a lot of content on YouTube and Instagram on gentle parenting. So I'm still learning about it, but I was very excited to have you on just because I wanted to hear someone's like firsthand experience, someone who's not a content creator and it's not produced and, you know, glamorizing it, like Samaria said. What are some resources that you would recommend for people who have no idea where to start? They're very new to it, or they're just like, oh, this sounds interesting. Because there's a lot of content out there, but we just want to be mindful about, you know, the content that we're choosing to lean on, especially when you're very new to something.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad you asked this because a lot of the people in the space who have the credentials tend to be white women. Mm. And the course, I am a student. So if I don't know how to do something and it's not on YouTube, I'm gonna buy a class, okay? So I took the toddler feeding class and then I took this class about basically this whole process from Big Little Feelings. You've probably seen their ads and stuff because they have probably become biggest in the space in a short amount of time. I took their class and the information was good, but the delivery was, their voices are very high-pitched. And I knew that even though the content was good, they talked really slowly because they were trying to be clear. And they were talking like they were talking to women, which I knew my husband would cut off. Yeah. Because it's going slow, you're high pitched, and it's like, okay, girl, you know, that kind of thing. I knew he wasn't going to hear it. So I would take the course, talk to him about it, and then show him a snippet of the video that went through like the brain research part of it. Mm-hmm. They are a great resource because it's a mom and was so interesting. It's a child psychologist who just had her first children. So now she gets to put in place what she's been practicing for the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. Right. And she was like, "Whoa, yeah, it's hard." So one of the first things he said to me was, "I have to be honest. Can you find me some Black people doing this?" Mm-hmm. Who have the same background, because it's one thing that if I tell Kennedy to stop doing something, I need her to stop. Because if we are in a situation where that's the difference between life or death, which we find ourselves in possibly more often than some children, other children, I need the behavior to still happen. And so then I found the mom psychologist on Instagram. Her name is Jasmine, I believe. And she was saying the same things, just not as high pitched and not as slow. she had a class, but I already paid for one. I ain't paying for two now. So I followed her free content, and she has a mom group. And then Malik Teal is newly in this space because she's just a natural student. She had a group on Facebook, which she recently shut down because she took it to a paid platform, and I wasn't paying for a platform, but that didn't mean it wasn't still good information. The community of moms who would help you through things was probably the best part of it. But because she had so many resources and she read so much, she was able to put forth a lot of information that was super useful. I actually reached out to her in her DMs when I was struggling with Kennedy, because I think she was potty training her oldest while I was potty training Kennedy. They're 2 months apart. And I asked her about something that she was able to do, and she responded, and we had a back and forth about that. And she was like, "Tell me how it goes." And we kind of checked in. But after that, I was like, "Okay, thank you so much." Cause I know her time is her time. Yeah. And then there's a couple of other people. One, I can't remember her name, but I'm going to look it up in a second, because she's probably the middle point of Big Little Feelings, who's not as like the people who are super extreme in gentle parenting. Like, you, even if they're yelling, you just talk back to them. "Nope, I'm not following you because I can't do that. You're not about to just be sitting here yelling at me." Right. Mm-hmm. And then the people over here who are like spankings, I have to find the midpoint. Yeah. Of what's developmentally appropriate, what the research says, what culturally we have to account for, and follow those people. So there are three really that I deal with. And then there are some other people that I follow, like for speech that kind of fold in, and for food that kind of fold in. But there's three. There's this other lady whose name I can't remember, but she's tall and she's white, but she recognizes the privilege in what happens. Like, she's one of those people who say, hey, I'm about to show you how to do this meal, but I understand that everybody is not food secure. So here's a way you can make this meal if you have to use processed food, what you could substitute in to save you some time, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I respect people who acknowledge those differences. And so those are the resources. The Big Little Feelings course was really good because they covered everything from basic tantrums to bringing a baby home. Let me tell you, because I was scared about that. You hear me? and I was able to follow some of that stuff. And we had the most seamless transition of integrating a baby until recently. Like, we're just starting to see some of the other stuff, which is like the sibling rivalry type thing. I want more attention, so on and so forth. But the baby part we got through pretty seamlessly. So those are the resources I would look at.
All right. Well, this has been such a great, informative, and fun episode. Thank you so much, Leticia, for coming on. Yes, we appreciate your time.
You. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll probably have you on here a million more times. But to our audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts, well, not really ours, but Leticia's thoughts on this topic. But we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye.